Okay, just to note, the learning that we're doing this month is anonymously sponsored, but we should keep in mind the Rafu Shlema for Rafael Moshe Elimelech Ben Basha. It's not a difficult situation. We should keep in mind a Rafu for him. And the learning this week is sponsored by Dr. Rani and Cheryl Nagel, regular supporters of our Kollel. And there are a few yard sites. You can look at the graphic in the group to see who we should have in mind for each day, today, tomorrow, and the next day. So our learning shataka be an Ilui Neshama for them, and a Refuah Shlema for the aforementioned individual as well. We're beginning Maseches Yevamos B'Siyat Deshmaya today. So the right thing to do if you're learning the mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza is to have some sort of Hagdamash here to understand the Inyanim a little bit more. Yevamos is so self-contained, it's so separate from the other Maseches that we've done, that you don't really have the kalim when you go into the Masechta to understand what's flying left and right, what the terms are, what the relationships are, on top of that, the cheshbon in every relationship. So it can be very difficult to break your head on the sugyas. It's not really in my wheelhouse, not in my masorah to have a hakdamah shir, so we're not going to do that. We're going to spend time working on the sugyas together. So the chaburas, at least in the beginning, if we have a chabur at all, more than once or any times in the first week or two, they're not going to be so sugya-oriented, so in-depth. You have to get acclimated a little bit. You have to learn the Mishnah. It takes forever just to get through the relationships. You have to learn the Rashis, come back to the Tosis, and we have to see Daf Beis until Daf Gimel and Beis to really get any context about what's going on in the Mishnah. So all of that has to happen over the next week and a week or two. Slowly we'll build up on context and then get into content. One ha'ara about our Derech HaLimud, we're learning Maseches Yevamos. We're not learning the Mitzvah of Yibam. So that means that we're learning Daf Beis, and then we're learning Daf Gimel, and then we're learning Daf Dalet, and then we're learning Daf Hey. It's true that on Daf Gimel and Beis, you're going to have a quote-unquote a tangent, because we're going to discuss Essay Do Chalos Essay for quite some time to try to get to the source of why it is or how it is that that the Mitzvah of Yibam is Docha, the Isra of Eshes Ach, but that's the way the Gemara was written for us, and that's the way it's supposed to be learned, so we're going to learn it in that order. If we were learning just the Sugya of Yibam, we might skip, but we're not. We're going to go right there. We're going to keep our pace. It might be a little slower only because of the difficulty in the beginning of getting into the concepts, but as we get the flow of things, we're going to go Al HaSeder, we're going to go right there. So you have to ask some questions on Daf Beis that you're not going to remember to get to until Daf Ches. That's okay. That's part of the limud. When we get to Daf Ches, we'll address some of those questions. There are other questions we're going to have to answer on Daf Beis because you probably can't get through the Mishnah, you can't get through Rashi without knowing some concepts, but we're learning Maseches Yevamos, so we'll have to be mechazik each other on that throughout. Maybe just to be maskal, the shir, the chabur today is not really going to be on Maseches Yevamos, but maybe just to be maskal the Mishnah together a little bit. The Mishnah starts, just the first half, the Mishnah starts, Chamish Esrei Nashim, Potros, Sarosein, but Sarosein, Minachlitza, Minayibam. So the number of Chamish Esrei 15 is subject to a question in the Rishonim. Tosas doesn't get to this till Daf Yud, but if you look in the Chachmei Sfarad here, the Ritva, the Ramban, etc., so they wonder there should really be a 16th Isha who is Poteres herself and her Tsaros, and Tsaros Tsarosa from Yibam, and that's the Migureshes Al Tanai. If you don't know what it means, it's okay, you'll see it in the Rishonim soon. You don't have to jump into it today or tomorrow, but that is something we'll either discuss here on Daf Beis Bli Neder or on Daf Yud. It's a very fundamental question, so you have to get to it. So should it really be 16, not 15? Because there's another case. If it's not true, then why isn't that a case of Ptur Yibam? The other kasha in terms of the number 15 is the bottom Taisus on Daf Beis Med Aleph, which is why Nida is not listed over here. So Taisus are not going to say that Nida is actually Poteres. But the question is, why not? Why isn't the Nida, who's also Aser Be'arayus, I should say that more carefully, is also Aser Bibia, and the question is what that Iser, the qualitatively what that Iser is made up of, so why isn't that listed in our mission as well as someone who is Poter Tsaros, Poter herself, Poter Tsarasa, and Poter Tsaros Tsaroseha? So that's something Tosa deal with over here. Ideally, it would be good if you saw that in the next 2 days, not so much because we need to know the Tosis to get through the Mishnah, but because it might relate to something we would neither touch on a little bit earlier on, either later this week or next week. So there's 15 Nashim. Why the Mishnah says Nashim, and not Arayos, you see in Tosis and the other Mepharshim. They're Potos Tsarosein with Tsaros Tsarosein. It's interesting that the Mishnah starts with Tsarosein and not themselves, to figure out that why the Mishnah started that way. You'll see in the Gemara that it's a bigger Chiddush, that the Tzara is Pater from Yibam than is the Erev herself, But the Mishnah starts that way. It's Sarah saying that even if she falls in an afila shnia, meaning she falls to the first brother and it can't, and then she goes to the second brother because the first brother can't do yibum, then that brother dies without children as well, Rachman al-Tzvan. So now she has tsaros on that second afila. That's also going to be pater from yibum. What's the source for that? The Gemara is going to debate that. Is it a gzeres hakasev? Is it a svara? I don't know if you saw already, the Tosis over here is going to deal with what exactly your Ravashi disagrees with. What's the Svara and what's the Gzeres HaKasev? You'll have to see this Tosis for sure. You'll also have to get to Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kasha as to why we need a limit at all for Tsaroseha. Never mind Ad Sofa Olam, but Tsaroseha, why do we need a limit at all? So these are things you'll see, they'll come up in footnotes or on in Achronim, you'll see them soon. Yeah, Min HaChalitza Min HaYibam, the Gemara will talk about why it had to say both and why it said it in that order. Ad Sofa Olam, you saw Tosis talks about why you have to include Ad Sofa Olam. The Elohim, these are the, we'll call it Arayos ourselves, that pater themselves, their Saros and Saros Sarasayhen. Bito, Vas Bito, Vas Beno. So Bito, Rashi says, Bito Me'anu Saso. So you have to put a little work into this, why Rashi was dafka about Bito Me'anu Saso, as opposed to what Rashi says later is included in Bas Ishto, which is the daughter of his marriage. Bito Me'anu Saso is a different story. So you have to look at the Rashi here, and we'll have to see some of the Rishonim, Tos San Daf Tzadi Zayin, and more. Ubas Beno Ubas Bita Chamoso. So Chamoso, it's important by Wednesday probably to see the Rashi. I mean, you should see the Rashi already. Chamoso, Rashi says the cases where his mother-in-law had a husband who was his father-in-law. The husband died, so his father-in-law passed away. She remarried to his brother, so she was his mother-in-law. Her husband died, and now she's his sister-in-law. So in that case, and Mespil Abanim, so in that case, she paters herself, she paters the Tzaras, and she paters the Tzaras Ada Olam. So Rashi could have given a much simpler case. The Mefarshim asked this on Rashi. Rashi could have said a case of his brother's daughter, his niece. So his mother-in-law is his brother's wife. So that's also chamoso. That's also his mother-in-law. And she's also his sister-in-law. And we're going to start talking about the family tree of the Nitziv and Baruch Epstein soon. So that's his mother-in-law and his sister-in-law. Then the brother dies without any children. So now it's a case of Yibum to the mother-in-law. So just much simple. I know it took me longer to say, but it's a much simpler case. So that's a very fundamental question why Rashi didn't give that case. Rabbi Kiva Eger deals with it. He wasn't the first to deal with it, but he deals with it. And maybe there are other options as well. So that's chamoso. Im chamoso ve'im chamiv achoso me'imo ve'achos imo ve'achos ishto ve'eshes achiv me'imo. These Rashis are very important, so you'll spend time in the Rashis also. Ve'eshes achiv shalohai ba'olamo. That's probably the most unique one on the list. The Eishes Achiv Shalohaya Ba'olamo, it's not an erva per se. Eishes Achiv Shalohaya Ba'olamo is a chronological question. He wasn't in the world, so to speak, at the same time as his brother who passed away. Two things to focus on. One is just basic. In Rashi gives a certain ukimta in terms of the case of Eishes Achiv Shalohaya Ba'olamo, which satisfies a machlokas tanayim that's going to take place later on between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan as to when exactly Yivam happens in between the death and the birth of this individual. So you have to see why Rashi gave that ukimta. The Aruch Laner has a comment over here. But additionally, just more fundamentally, what is this Torah of Eishes Achiv Shalohaya Ba'olamo? What pater is that? So it's a gzeres hakasev. The pasuk is going to say ki yeshu achim yachdav. It's our parsha that when the two brothers live in the world at the same time, and then one of them passes away without children, then yibum happens. But if they didn't live yachdav, if they didn't live together in the same world, then they're not going to have a case of a yibum. But what's the quality of that tour? Is it tour erva? Is it something more technical? Is it their achad archei noam? You see the Tosas on Daf Yud Zayin and Beis. There's a lot to talk about in terms of. So you got to look into that as well. We may not get to that till later on, but it's good to keep on the radar. There's a very important Ritva on Daf Gimel Mar Aleph about Eishes Achiv Shalohaya Ba'olamo as well. Kalaso, his daughter-in-law, Rashi clarifies Asar La'olam. Yeah, Hare Elu Potros Sarasem, Sarasem, and Ali Chalitza Umin Ayibam Atzofa Olam. So those are going to pater from Chalitza and from Yibam, And as we said, at Sofa Olam, like the Rishonim talk about that Lashon. Yeah, so what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes, we Neder Mitzvah Hashem, really has nothing to do with the Masechta per se, but by way, Agav, the discussion that Rishonim have over here, maybe we'll be Megala, a few Yesodos that you want to either focus on or look into or keep on the radar going forward. The Rishonim here deal with the question. It's a Derech Liman and Shas. It's not just the Rishonim. It happens to be the Gemara here doesn't talk about it, but in the Gemaras elsewhere, in Makos and Shavuos and Nazir and Sota, the Gemara is always asking the question. Even the beginning of Shas, the Gemara and the beginning of Maseches Brachos, they ask the question of why a Masechta belongs where it does. Why do we start Shas with Brachos? Why is Makos and Shavuos connected? Why is Nazir and Sota connected? What's the connection between different Masechtas? So here the Gemara doesn't ask the question. But some of the Rishonim do. Tosas don't on the page, I don't think, right? But elsewhere in other Masechtas, Tosas do ask this question. Here they happen not to. The Tosas Yishanim, we'll see soon, is the main one who deals with it on the page. So they ask why here does Masechtas Yavamos appear? Now, just to be clear, because a person could get confused about this. I was confused about this for a little while. There's a famous Rambam in the Hakdamot to Perish Mishnayis. People saw that or no? There's a Rambam in Perish Mishnayis, and there's a Tosas Yishanim on the page. So they get conflated in terms of that they're offering different answers to the same question. It's not true. The Rishonim are asking two separate questions here, and there are two questions to ask. The first question to ask is, why is Maseches Yavamos the first in Seder Nashim? That's its own question. Why would you start Seder Nashim, rather, with Maseches Yavamos? What else would you have started with? Start with Kiddushin. Start with the beginning, with marriage. Separately, why is Gittin come before Kiddushin? But you start with Kiddushin. Start with the beginning of marriage, then maybe Gerushin. Maybe Kedushin, then Ksubis, then Gerushin. I don't know, either way. And Yavamos is like a freak occurrence. It's a once-in-a-while thing. It's not the start of Isha, so it's kind of a strange way to start this Seder. That's the first question that we'll come back to. The second question the Rishonim asks is, okay, why do we start Seder Nashim with Maseches Yavamos? Not because, why does it belong here, but because Aschuli bepuranuso lo maschilin. We don't like to start with negative things. So first of all, it seems out of place because it's such a freak occurrence, so rare. It's not fundamentally the beginning of Maseches Nashim. It's very random to start with that. That's first of all. Secondly, we usually don't start with negative things. We usually start with Divrei Bracha. So why would we start the Seder of Nashim with such a sad case where a person dies, maybe not young. It doesn't have to be a person died young. He could have died at the age of 50. But he died without children, so he didn't realize his potential in his Ishus. So we're going to start with such a sad case. That's not right. Why are we starting with Puranios? So those are two separate questions that we Rishonim are dealing with. Is that clear? That gets conflated sometimes. So the first question was the one that the Rambam is mitzayachis to. The Rambam in the Perish Mishnayis, in the Hagdama, not to Yavamos, in the Hagdama to the Perish Mishnayis in general, although in the new editions of the Perish Mishnayis, the Korach with the Machon Maor, they have like a, I don't know, they call it a footnote. I don't know what you call those things that are the middle of the page but aren't footnotes, but you know, they have like a Haggah where they quote the whole Lashon, basically, most of the Lashon from Perish Mishnayis in the Hagdama. So if you have the one on the on Yavamos here, you could use that as well. So the Rambam asks this question, why start with Maseches Yavamos? It's a strange way to start the Seder. So he says, V'atam she'viu lahaskel b'yavamos v'lo b'ksubis. I'm reading from the Bar Ilan edition, but so it might be a little different in the Korach ones. V'atam she'viu lahaskel b'yavamos v'lo b'ksubis. Interesting, the Rambam initially thinks that you should start the whole Seder with Ksubis, not Kiddushin. The reason why we start with the Yavamos, not Ksubis, because you would think your logic would dictate you should start with the mitzvah of getting married, the ksuba, setting up the marriage. No, because nisuin, getting married, is dependent upon a person's will, a person's desire to get married. And Basin doesn't have seemingly the authority, or at least the prerogative even, but at least the need to force a person to get married. That's what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says that when it comes to Nisun, when it comes to Kiddushin, when it comes to getting married, that the Basin doesn't have the authority, the prerogative, or the need to force someone to get married. Masha'inkin, when it comes to Yibum, they can force him. Ochalots, Oyabim. You have to do Yibum. Now, just to be clear, the Rambam can't be read perfectly straight, although it's meduyak once you realize what he means here. But in Hilchos Yibum Chalitz and Perak Beis, he says very clearly that you can't be kof on the mitzvah of Yibum. So he doesn't mean that we're kof on Yibum. What the Rambam says is, O chalotz, O yabim. Someone has to do something. You have to either do Yibum or do chalitza. He doesn't mean that you could force someone to do Yibam. But if you view, and this is another discussion, but if you view Yibam and Chalitza as a package deal, regardless, the Rambam quotes them as two separate mitzvahs, regardless, they're a package deal. It's a lechatchila b'dieved, or a stage one, or a security, like sort of a backup, a backstop to Yibam is Chalitza. Either way, they're inherently tied. So they can force you to do this general mitzvah of Chalitza or Yibam. They can't force you to do Yibam per se, but there's a nature of kfiya that exists here. Starm says it's better to start with something that's more hechrechi, a mitzvah that's hechrechis, that's forced on a person, than it is to start with kiddushin, which is not really forced on a person. That's what the Rambam says over here. You have to figure out what that means. The Rambam seems to be implying, and this is what the Tosas Yontif says in his Hagdama to Maseches Yevamos, the Rambam seems to be saying that there's no such thing as forcing someone to get married, correct? There's no kfiya on the mitzvah of kiddushin. So he could be saying that for any number of reasons. He could be saying that it's an issue of das, it's an issue of ratzon. Seems clear that that's not what the Rambam means. He could be saying that it's not a mitzvah, meaning kiddushin is not a mitzvah, and therefore there's no kfiya. Generally speaking, the Gemara in Ksupas on Pevav tells us that we have a din of kofin al mitzvah's essay. Sukkah in yosa and lulav in yinotel. You whack someone in the head until they keep the mitzvah. Here, kiddushin is exceptional. Why? Maybe because it's not a mitzvah. That's also lo yitachin by the Rambam, because the Rambam does have a mitzvah of kiddushin. How you formulate the mitzvah of kiddushin is kiddushin bibiya or live ol b'ksuba, but that's details. There is a mitzvah of kiddushin, so you can't really say that either. So what the Rambam seems to be saying, though, is that you can't be kofa at some certain stage. You can't be kofa the guy to get married, even though it is a mitzvah. You have to figure out why that might be. That Tosis Yontif, who makes that diuk, so he points to the Rush in our Masechta in the sixth parak, Siman Tes Zayin, the Rush says that it's true that you don't force someone to get married until a certain point. Once, Chazal tells us in the Maseches Kedushin, once a person turns a certain age, he's being negligent by not getting married. He's Kol Yama V'Avera, Behira Avera. He has to get married. At least by the age of 20, the Rush says, if the guy's not getting married already, so we are kofa him. We do hit him and force him to get engaged and to get married. So the Tosfos Yontif assumes this is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush, that the Rambam says that there's no such thing as kfiya on the mitzvah of kedushin, even if it is a mitzvah according to the Rambam, there's no kfiya. The Rush says that there is indeed a mitzvah, a din of kfiya. Once the individual turns 20 years old, he must get married, and we can force him to do so. Reb Elchanan in the Kovitz Shirim and Ksubis, so he says that the machlokas is not as far as we thought. It's not menakatz adakatzah. It's not that the Rambam says you don't force and the Rush says you do force. The pshat's like this. The Rambam says that you can't force someone to get married. You can't force someone to do Kedushin. Why not? Because he's 16 years old. He's 14 years old. He's 20 years old. He's 19 years old. So you'll say, hey, go get married. You're going to hit him over the head with a bat. So he says, what do you mean? I'm just waiting for the right girl. I'll get married. Just not to this one. I'll get married to a different one. So there's no kfiya. Because you can't force him to choose one girl. He'll say, I'll choose another girl, I'll choose another Isha, I'm just waiting for my Basher. But even the Rambam would agree that if a person got to a stage where he said, I'm not interested in getting married, I'm avoiding marriage. So in such a case, says Rabbi Chanan, even the Rambam would agree there's kfiya. The Rambam only said there's no kfiya when it's a possibility that the guy will just get married to someone else. The Rush was Koveya Gul, based on Chazal. The Rush learned the Chazal that it's not just a Divrei Garta, that the guy is over behirhure avera his entire life until he gets married. No, he thought that was a din, that Chazal were telling us that the cutoff is age 20. Once you're age 20, you have to get married. The Rambam will say, I don't know if it's age 20 or 23 or 25, I think Mishpacha magazine says it's 21, if you're a Baal HaChrayis. Assuming you're a Baal HaChrayis, you're already supposed to get married at 21. So whatever the number is for the Rambam, I don't know, but when the guy has the clear attitude that he's doing away with the mitzvah entirely, that's when you're going to have a kfiya. But it's not like such a far machlokes like the Tosfos Yontif was suggesting. As Reb Elchanan says in Ksuvis, yeah, I don't know, you could have said more simple. More simple you could have said is the Rambam doesn't ever have a din of kfiya by Kedushin, but it doesn't mean that you can't be kof on Kedushin. You can be kof on Kedushin. You could force a guy to get married. The Gemara in Ksuvis says we're forced on Mrs. Essays, and the Rambam has a Mrs. Essay of Kedushin, of getting married. What the Rambam means is I can't force a person to marry Isha Zo. I can't force a person to marry a specific lady. I can't tell him, go get married to such and such. Masha'ein came by Yibam and Chalitza, we force this particular relationship on the person. O Yabim, O Chalotz. choose either chalitza or yibam, but you definitely have to be misyachet to this isha, bekishrei isha, either through chalitza or through yibam. So for the Rambam, it's not that there's no kfiya at all in Mitzvah's Kedushin. We could tell a guy he has to get married, we just can't tell him which lady he has to marry in particular. So that's, I don't know, simpler mahalach in the Rambam. It converges somewhere with Rabbi Chanan, but it's a different approach. That's the first question the Rambam is dealing with. The second question the Rishonim deal with, this is the Tosfos Yeshan on the page, is that Aschuli beparanusa lo maschalinan. We don't start Seder. We don't start a new limud with negativity. Why should we start with such a disastrous case of a yibam, a nebuch, a person who passes away and didn't have children, and we need to address the mitzvah of yibam and chalitza? So why would we start Seder Nashim with Masachas Yevamos? So that's again Tosfos Yeshan on the page. You can look inside. The Tosfos Rashi deals with it as well. Tosfos Rashi brings almost every answer of Tosfos Yeshan. We'll talk about that soon. So Tosfos Yeshan, I'm reading inside, says like this: Chamish Esrei Nashim Potros Sarosein Yesh Machshin. Am I Maskel Seder Nashim Biyevamos? The Haskuli Beporanusa Lo Maskelinon. The Adrava Hayolan LaHaskel Kedushin Uksubis VeGitin VeYachar Kach Yevamos. Yeah. So he says an interesting teretz, the first teretz. I'm going to say three answers here. V'nir mishum dechsiv v'haya emunas v'tach achos and yeshuas, meaning the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph says that the Pasuk tells us, pretty vague Pasuk, but it says, v'haya emunas is zraim, itecha is time, is moed, chosen, etc. So basically it tells us, zraim, moed, nashim, zikin, kachim, tyrus. The Gemara tells us there's a hint, there's a remez in each of the words in that Pasuk, to a different Seder in Shas. So the Tosfos Yeshan says, you see from that limud in the Gemara in Shabbos, that it's muchach, it has to be that Seder Nashim hu baser Seder Moed, that it's v'haya emunas, zraim, itecha is Moed, and then chosen is Nashim. So it has to be Moed and Nashim. And Mesayim, Mesech Moed Katan, the Seder Moed ends with Mesech Moed Katan, Dahave Peronusa, the whole third parak of Moed Katan is all about Hilchas Avelos. So Lekach Hiskil Seder Nashim Mesech Zivamos Umasmech Peronusa Lip Peronusa. Says the Tosfos Yeshanim that it's not that we want to start with Peronus Chas V'Shalom, but we ended Seder Moed with Peronus. And it has to be that Seder Nashim follows Seder Moed. So if we end with Peronus, we want to be Masmech Peronus. I don't know if that means what the reason is. It's to mitigate the amount of times we talk about negative things. So once we already ended Seder Moed on a negative note, so let's just finish up the negativity and get back to the positivity soon enough. So we're Masmech Peronus one to the other. So it's not that we're starting Seder Nashim with Peronus. It's that we're following up on Moed Katan's Peronus with the Peronus of Yevamos. The Meiri quotes some Gaonim had a different Seder that ended with Chagiga, and then the answer has to be different, but that's what the Tosfos Yeshan suggests over here. He has a raya for this, or at least the klal he brings is from the Gemara in Bava Basra. We'll see in a second, I forgot if it's Daf Yudalit or something. But the Gemara assumes that the reason why we have Sefer Malachim and then Sefer Yirmia is because Malachim ends with Peronus and Yirmia begins with the Yirmia is the Korban. So it's a Peronus, so we're Masmech Peronusa le Peronusa. We put together, we juxtapose the different negative, disastrous situations, so to hear in the Masechtas between Seder Moed and Seder Nashim. Tosfos and Moed Katan on Daf Chav Ches and Beis have the same teretz. Yeah, so it's very fascinating. What the Tosfos Yeshanim is assuming is that cute remez that the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph that it brings, V'haya Emunas Techa Chos and Yeshuos Chachmas Adas, or whatever it is, that's a din. That's Kaveya, the Seder of Shas. It's a very fascinating thing. I mean, there's a din. There's a Seder to Shas. You have to look at the way different Rishonim and Gaonim formulate this. If you read the Igeres of Shir Gaon, it's clear that there was a Seder that Rebbe was Mesader, but Lav Dafka that he taught that way, Lav Dafka everyone learned that way throughout the generations. Like, Lav Dafka to learn it in that Seder, but there's a Chalos din, there's a Kvias to what order Shas is supposed to appear in. At least in Starim. Doesn't say anything about the Masechtas, at least in Starim. The Rambam says like this too. The Rambam in that same area, in the Hagdamah to Perish Mishnayis, so he tells us, Ka'asher Chashav HaMechaber L'Chaber Zeh Sefer, when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was putting together Mishnayis, Ra L'Chalik goes to L'Shish HaChlakim, he thought there were going to be six sections, six Starim. V'kar Kol Chech Meim Seder, he called each one a Seder, Zorayim Moed Nashim Zikin Kachim Taras. And he says the reason why he did it like that, he says, is because the pasuk that the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph quotes says the order in that way. The Rambam adds also Svaras, which is very fascinating. He says start with Zraim, because Zraim is about building planting life and building sustenance for all of humanity and all of creatures, so it's really like globally applicable. And then you move into a moed because once we're talking about Zerayim, I think he says the Shemitah, and Shemitah is like a moed, so you go into moed. And then once you're talking about the moed, you go next to Nashim, not because it's connected to moed, but more because it comes in the Pasuk before Nezikin. That first we talk about, I'll just read it to you. Because that's the order of the psukim. That's how Hashem did it. So you want to follow the order of the psukim. We'll come back to that later. But the Rambam assumes that there's an order in the psukim that the Mishnayos or the Masechtas, the Sedarim, are also going to follow. So Nashim before Nezikin, etc. So he has the pasuk as Xeris Akasav almost. And then he also has svaras for why each Masechta follows the previous one. Again, the ha'ara is chashev that there's a set seder to the starim, but it's halacha l'maisa. It's important too because we have klalim that Rishonim argue about as to whether yesh seder l'mishnah or ain seder l'mishnah, and whether if you have a stam v'achar kach machlokas v'achar kach stam, can you learn from the stam to the machlokas that one was the final word, so to speak? So within a Masechta, it's one thing. Within two Masechtas, is there a Seder? But what you see from the Rambam, from the Tosfos Shanim here, is that there is a Seder to the Starim. So if you had a Stam, V'achar kach Machlokas, and Machlokas V'achar kach Stam, from Zroim to Moed, from Moed to Nashim, Nashim to Nezikin, that would be relevant. That would be important to Cheshbin, to factor in, when you're making a decision whether Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was Taka Chozer Bo when he was Sosim it the second time around. So you have to keep that in mind, if that follows through in the Rishonim. I only have time probably for one more ha'arab, so I'll just be ma'orer the ha'ara on the other one, and we won't close it. But the Tosfos Shanim here brought a raya from, or he brought a yesod, a mucker, from the Gemara Bava Basra and Daf Yedalid Amud Beis. So the Gemara there says, "Ein masfilin bepuranus, but masmichin puranus leparanus." So, and the Gemara's example was Malachim to Yirmiya. So you see, this klal is shayach not only in Chazal, but initially even in Sifrei Tanakh, that what's samach to the other is significant. So the fact that Malachim is before Yirmiyah apparently has significance, meaning they're samach to each other, and that's why that will dictate which sefer goes after which, because they are connected in some way. So you have to figure out, again, the question's not going to be chal by you right now, because I'm not explaining it well enough, which maybe is why it's a Baruch Levatala, but maybe we'll talk about it on Daf Dalet. But on Daf Dalet, you're going to see that there's a Machlokes at Tanayim, whether Dorshin Smuchin and Kol Torah Kula, that when you have two things that are next to each other in Tanakh, do you Darshin the Smichus, of the juxtaposition of those two Dinim to each other? So not according to Tosis, but according to others, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that we're only Dorshin Smuchin in Dvarim. We only care about the juxtaposition of different things to each other within Sefer Dvarim. So you have to figure out if that's true. Is that a problem with what we're learning in the Gemara Bava Basra, that we care about the smuchim between Yirmiyah and Malachim, or is that different in some way qualitatively than the regular case of a smuchim? So keep it on the back burner, maybe we'll get back to it. The second answer the Tosfos Shanim here has to his question of why start with Puranus instead of a Masmech Puranusa Le Puranusa. So the second answer he says, Inami Mefarish Tchila, Ezo Isha Asura Ve Ezo Isha Mataris, Bahadar Mefarish Kulil Mili Dinashim. So here, the Tosfos Shanim suggests something more fundamental in terms of being Nashim Dik. He says, this really is a good start to Seder Nashim, because this is the first Mishnah is going to tell us all of the Arayos, a lot of the Arayos, basically, right? It's going to spell out for us the Arayos. So it's going to tell us which Nashim are Mutaros, which Nashim are Asuros. And the whole Hemshech HaGemara is about that as well, which relationships are problematic, which are not problematic. That's a great start to Seder Nashim. It's the beginnings. It's teaching you who the Nashim are that a person's allowed to marry and who the Nashim are that a person's not allowed to marry. In fact, the Aruch Lener here says that this, basically, the Tos Rush is the same thing as Tos Yishanim. And the Aruch Lener says that this answer of the Tos Rush and the Tos Yishanim might account for that diak in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah starts that it's Chamesh Esrei Nashim, not Chamesh Esrei Arayos, as Tos asked the question. So maybe the answer is that it had to be, the Mishnah wanted to say Nashim as opposed to Arayos, because it's hinting, it's being meramis to the fact that we're teaching you the Nashim HaMutaros, the Nashim HaAsuros, as opposed to sitting on the arayos only. So the Mishnah was trying to intimate this. Regardless of, I'm not sure if everyone understands what the Aruch HaNer is trying to suggest, but the Tos Rush says this pshat and gives a different answer to the question of Nashim versus Arayos. It's clear that Tos Rush didn't think this this answer accounted for that question. Okay, lastly, the Tos Rishonim suggests, V'od Yesh Lomar Mishum Dihim Mitzvah Rishona She'ira B'Nashim. The last thing he says is that Seder Nashim should start punked with Yevamos, because Yevamos is the, or Yibam, I should say, is the first mitzvah which was given. The different Gersos here, it says Ira B'Nashim, or just Ira B'Yisrael, or Nitna L'Yisrael. It's the first mitzvah of Ishus that was given to the world. K'dichsiv B'Tamar, Ba'al Ishus Achicha B'Yavim Osa. Because the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayeshev that Yehuda commanded his children to perform the mitzvah of Yibam. It sounds like from the Pasuk it's the mitzvah of Yibam. So here you see again that Yesod from the Rambam that the Starim and even the Masechtas go in order of the Pesukim. Meaning, who cares that chronologically the first mitzvah of Nashim that was given was Yibam? Who cares? Unless the Rambam was right in Perish Mishnayis, not only about Starim, but also about Masechtas, that as much as possible the Mishnayis like to follow the order of the Pesukim. So the first, chronologically, historically, the first mitzvah of the Ishus that was given to the world was the mitzvah of Yibam. So the first Seder, the first Masechta, rather, in Seder Nashim should be the one regarding the mitzvah of Yibam. That's what the Tosfos Shalom suggests over here. The Tosfos Rush quotes all the other answers, but he doesn't quote this answer of the Tosfos Shalom. So the Pashtus is they're arguing about something very, very simple, but very fundamental. The Tosfos Yeshanim is assuming something significant here. He's assuming that the Yibam that we're talking about by Yehuda and his children was a mitzvah of Yibam. Now, there's a famous Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev where the Ramban says that there was an inyan of Yibam before Matan Torah, that even Yehuda and his children with Tamar were able to perform the inyan of Yibam. But the Ramban says very clearly, he's arguing on this point, he says very clearly, that's not the mitzvah of Yibam. The mitzvah of Yibam didn't come into effect until Matan Torah. Being that Yibam is really based in Sod HaGilgal, is really based in some esoteric, the nature of the fact that the brother will be the best person to continue the legacy of his brother because of the Sod HaGilgal. So it wasn't a mitzvah because there was no Matan Torah yet, but Chachmei HaOlam, or whatever the words he uses over there, the Chacham Nisgavim, the Chasidei Olam, they knew, they intuited, they realized that this was an inyan, and therefore they performed Yibam. But it wasn't a mitzvah of Yibam, it was like a minhag of Yibam. The Tosfos Yeshanim is saying more than that, no? The Tosfos Yeshanim is saying that there was the first mitzvah that existed in the world of Nashim, that there was a mitzvah of Yibam that existed pre Matan Torah by Yehuda and Tamar. You already see it. The Chizkuni says this al Torah as well. The truth is, other Yeshanim have this. If you look in the Rashba, later in the Masechta, Tzadi Zayinam Vez, the Rashba says very clearly that Yehuda had the mitzvah of Yibam as well, because Isser Kalaso was Hutar for the mitzvah of Yibam, which is a double chiddush. Because saying there's a mitzvah of Yibam proper before Mount Torah that Yehuda had, and it wasn't only Docha the Isser of Eshes Ach, it was Docha the Isser of Kala, of his daughter-in-law. That's a wild chiddush, that's a double chiddush. So the Rishonim here are assuming that it goes even further than what the Ramban says. Not just an inyan of Yibam, there's actually a mitzvah of Yibam before Mount Torah. The Ritva on Daf Hayamid Beis assumes this is incorrect. And the Ritva has a very good proof. The Gemara on Daf Hayamid Beis. The Gemara on Daf Hayamid Beis is trying to learn Yibam from other mitzvahs. So it tries to compare Yibam at one point to Mila and Tamid, Carbon Tamid. And the Gemara says, Male Mila of a Carbon Tamid, you can't compare it to those two because Mila of a Carbon Tamid were Yeshna and Lifnei HaDibor. They existed before Matan Torah. They existed before the mitzvahs came into existence. Masha Inkin, it sounds like from the Gemara, the mitzvah of Yibam, it didn't exist before Matan Torah. So it says it's clear, black on white, right here on the page, that it can't be that the mitzvah of Yibam applied by Yehuda, because it didn't apply, Kodem Matan Torah. The Ritva on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, he argues on this Shita of the Rashba that Isser Kalaso was Nidche by Yehuda for the mitzvah of Yibam, and he says very simply, like we said before, where do you ever find that Yibam allows the Isser of Kala? It only allows the Isser of Eshzat. It doesn't allow the Isser of Kalasa. So the whole thing is hard to understand how the Rashba could say that. There's a Yisod distinct pshat in this machlokas, maybe. Rabbi Chanan alludes to it, other Svarim as well. that is the question is basically what's, and we're going to have to get into this, so keep this hakir in mind, what's the matir or the doche in Yibam against Esh Zach? Is the matir the nefila, meaning the inyan of Yibam, the fact that the brother passed away with no children, now she becomes muteris or she becomes, you know, a mechieves in Yibam, whichever the case might be, or is that the mitzvah of Yibam is doche? What's the dechia? The inyan of Yibam is the dechia, or the mitzvah of Yibam is the dechia? If the inyan of Yibam is the dechia, then maybe even the Rashba later on in the Masechta doesn't think there's a mitzvah called Matan Torah. He just thinks that there's an inyan of Yibam called Matan Torah, but the inyan of Yibam is docha, the iser. And back then, the inyan of Yibam applied not only to Achiv, Min Ha'av, but it applied to all the family members, as the Ramban says explicitly in his parish on the Torah. So it's true, there was no mitzvah called the Matan Torah, but there was an inyan, and maybe the inyan is matir. But if you hold the mitzvah as matir, then only when you have a formal mitzvah yibam could you say such a thing. Otherwise, it would be too hard to handle, which is what the Ritva is arguing back on the Rashba's opinion. Just to end with, according to the Ramban, the Ritva Udimayu, there was no mitzvah of yibam before Matan Torah. So what's takap shat that Tamar was hotziuha v'tisarif? What's takap shat that they took her out to kill her? She wasn't a shemeres yavam. So Rabbi Peres spoke about it when I was in New York last year, so I didn't hear the chabur, but the Re'im and those mafarshim. But the Ramban addresses this in one place where he says there was a different issur involved over here. That the Beis Yehuda, the family of Yehuda, was considered the malchus of the Jewish people, of the Jewish family. And so when Tamar refused to listen, she didn't wait for her Yabam. She wasn't Shomeres Yabam, but not in the halachic sense. Just she literally didn't wait for the third son to be Miyabim her. So she was being Morid v'malchus on a certain level. And therefore there was a decree that she had to be killed. Why killed and not Malkos? Why Sreifa and other Misos? So that has to do with the Chumrah of Bnei Noach and or the fact that she was a Bas Kohen. But, whatever. Ayin Sham and the Chabura, there's a lot of raid over there. But it was a different Isser entirely. It wasn't the fact that there was Yibam, because again, there was no Yibam Kodem Matan Torah. Okay, so this is just, again, it's not a Havdama to Mesachas Yivamos. It's its own inherent tangent in Mesachas Yivamos, but it points at least to a few issues we have to consider. So we'll go weiter in the Mishnah, B'Seyat HaShemayi B'Li Neder. I'm not committing yet to a Chabura on Wednesday, but we'll see how things work out. Okay.